Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
There's an honest answer.
Yeah, that's the first
honest answer you've given.
Buck, you want to share what you'd rather?
No. Do you want to share what was being discussed?
Nope.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
Off-air discussions.
Yeah. That'll be for our 6 years only.
Should stay off air.
True story. Mm. It's rough. Hey, sometimes you got to do stuff for freedom. That's all I know.
That's right.
America.
That's right. We are partying because it's Tuesday and we love to party on Tuesdays. We got the college football playoff exclusive reveal coming up here in moments on ESPN.
I know that we freak out like it's home. It's the first one.
Well, I don't think anyone's freaking out.
No, it's just ESPN creating content out of nothing.
Yeah, but see, I think intrigued. Well, I think it's okay because the one thing that, I mean, just go back to the basketball tournament.
Yeah.
When it gets to March, the bracketology guys make a ton of money. Like there is a ton of interest in that stuff, and it doesn't mean anything.
Army number 25. Hello.
But I think it's kind of cool now with a 12 team, not with a 14, but with a 12 team bracket, it's kind of cool to see how it would lay out.
Yeah.
And it means literally nothing. There is so much football left. But especially now with Oregon likely being number one here, you know, they play the winner. If they're the number one seed, they'll play the winner of the 8-9 game. So, yeah, I mean, I bet you Duck fans have their eye on who may fall into the 8-9 slots.
Yeah.
Like, and it's kind of cool to...
I will say that, and like years past with the 4 team, I can see where the 12 gives you a little more leeway. And Bart, too, always talks about, and we'll see how this goes because it's the first year of this, but like... how they manipulate, you know, like, well, we need to move this team up because we need so-and-so to have a quality win. And so you can kind of see how it's going to play out.
So
there's interesting. It's like Louisville Clemson right there, 22-23, even though Clemson is 6-2 and Louisville 6-3,
but Louisville just beat them.
So
yeah, there's 20
head-to-head matters.
We're learning right now because of this head-to-head matters.
There's the Cougs, 21st.
All right, go Cougs. Even though you have no shot at any of this, it's still cool to see them up there.
There are 26 teams with two or fewer losses, basically playing for 11 spots.
Yeah.
And somebody did, who was it? It was like Bet Online, sent out the email about the percentage chance of making the playoff. Oregon is tied at the top. At 97.6% chance.
It's a good chunk. When you think about it.
Who do you think they're tied with?
Who else would they be tied with? Blip, 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 blip. Maybe Miami?
Wrong.
I'm trying to think of the other. I'm assuming it's one of the other undefeateds.
Ohio State.
Really?
Yep.
Ohio State?
Yep.
Wow.
Ohio State and Oregon have the top percentage chance of making the playoff, followed by Georgia, then Miami,
and
Texas.
I guess what they're saying is they don't believe that the Indiana game is a threat, and that a 11-1 Ohio State team, even if they lose the Big Ten title game, is still in. That would be my... Because there's going to be a bunch of two-loss teams in, and if your only loss of the year is to the number one team, and one is by a razor-thin margin, and you're not going to be punished for having to play an extra game against them, I can see that. That makes sense. But that shows you that they don't have any sort of real fear of Indiana. And I'm telling you right now, you disregard the Hoosiers at your own cost.
Yeah, so if you look at the odds, there are five teams that have a really, really good chance of making it, and that's Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, Miami, and Texas. Mm. After that, there's a drop-off, and that's where I think it gets interesting. That's where when you have a 12-team playoff, you start to bring other teams and other conversations into the fold, and it gets fun.
Sure.
Because you have Penn State. Lord knows what's going to happen to them, but they're next. Indiana, Notre Dame, Tennessee, Boise State, Alabama, BYU, SMU all have over a 50% chance.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited for that Alabama-LSU game this weekend because that feels like a de facto elimination
game. It is
an
elimination game.
Both teams have two losses. And
you're not getting in it.
You're not getting in with three losses.
You're just not.
And it's in Baton Rouge, close spread. Be a good one.
You know, what's funky here, too, is I was thinking about this the other day when we were having this conversation, is you brought up Penn State. The best thing that could happen to Penn State
was a close loss to Ohio State?
No, is to not play for the Big Ten championship.
That's what I'm, but so by losing close to Ohio State, that's the best thing, yeah.
If you're Penn State, I know it's weird, but you don't want to go play in the Big Ten title game.
Take another loss.
I still think, you know, you would get in, but as long as Penn State doesn't stub their toe the rest of the way, Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, Maryland, not a murderer's row, sit back. You're an Ohio State fan. Let Ohio State play Oregon for the Big Ten title, and you just kick back and be like 11-1.
You probably even finish top eight and host a game.
Thanks for coming.
I think that's the biggest thing facing the committee, which, by the way, includes the great Mike Riley this year.
Yeah,
it is. How are they? And this, we got 5 weeks to figure this out. But it's championship game losers versus teams with fewer losses who did not play for a championship.
Yeah, that's going to be weird.
That is going to be odd.
And I do not like at all. If you're a two-loss team and you grind your way to a one-loss team and you grind your way to a conference title game and you lose a close one to a damn good team.
Should not get dinged for that.
You should not. Like, it would bother me immensely that let's say somehow Indiana ends up in the Big Ten title game, right? And they lose, you know, they beat Ohio State, but they lose another game, right? And so they're 11-1. They play in the Big Ten title game, and they lose to Oregon. No, you don't get to be rewarded, Penn State, by being ahead of them. I absolutely hate that. Who was it? Georgia had that in the SEC title game, and that was when it was a 4-team. But remember, they said, we lost one game all year, and it was the one game that we couldn't afford to lose, and that was the one to Alabama. And can we be honest? Last year, Georgia was probably the best team in the country, and they didn't get a chance. So, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
Sucks.
First team out right now is SMU.
Yeah.
According to their first rankings. So we'll have five of these rankings, and then we get the real one, which will be on December 8th.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and like for people saying like with SMU, who turns out SMU, you know, is a nice little team there and could be staring down an SEC title game, but like, people talking about BYU I want to see what they do with BYU, because I'm not here to say that BYU is a top five team in the country, but if we're going on resume, so SMU's 13th in the country?
Yep, and then Boise's 12th, so they're giving the one-loss Boise the nod right now for the 12th spot.
So BYU beat SMU. At the time, they beat Kansas State, who was ranked up there. I mean, I know those aren't like the world's biggest wins, but it's better than like what Indiana has.
So where do you think they should be?
Well, if you're going to put Indiana ahead of them, like BYU, if we're going by resume, BYU has a better resume than Indiana.
Well, the confusing thing about this is going to be they're going to release the rankings, but the thing that they can't do is seed the top four because they don't know which of the four are going to win the conference championships.
Yeah.
So they may have BYU, let's say they have BYU 4.
Yeah.
That they won't necessarily be the four seed unless they win the Big 12.
Yeah.
That is interesting to see in this next month what that, like, how they're projected, not knowing a team that is slated for the conference champion and where they would fall if they lose a game on the way.
So I tend to just say, you know, again with all these things,
let it all play out.
But it's kind of fun. I just be interested to see where they're going with this. Like, you know, Alabama is in right now. Two-loss Alabama.
Oh, there's BYU right there.
There they are. Number four.
Look at that. All right, well.
That's awesome.
I stand corrected. They did.
Look at your coos.
They did. And they're not the fourth best team in the country. But you know what?
Now, do you think they're doing that because they are projecting them to win the league then?
It has to be.
Is that what they're doing?
It has to be.
Yeah.
And again, I thought something's on. When you look at resumes, you know, it's a good resume. It is. It's just, it's. If you would have told me at the start of the year.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I'm seeing here. See, that's why it's confusing. So they have BYU 9th.
Oh, okay.
But they put them in the 4 seed because they are projecting them to win the Big 12. Because the Big 12 champion would get a
They haven't ranked 9th.
Oh, yeah. I see. They got two numbers up there.
Yeah, I just now figured that out.
I'm not going to lie. When you said 4, I was like, holy God. like what? I'm like, all right. Well, they're undefeated in Georgia and Ohio State or not. So
Who's running that committee? Tom Holmo?
Look, whether you're 4 or whether you're 9, see it as a BYU guy. And look, I'm not going to pretend that I sit here and bleed BYU blue, but you know, I got pride in my team there. And one of my teammates is the coach. If you would have told me that there was a 50% chance 9 weeks into this thing that they would make the playoffs, I would have laughed in your face. Mm-hmm. So this is, this is cool.
All right. We'll get to the full rankings when they come out. They're kind of slow playing this. Yeah. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan. Okay. They're still not through the whole damn ranking, but we're almost there. So Oregon, it will be number one, and they will play the winner as it stands now of the 8-9 matchup, which will be Indiana-Tennessee.
Yeah, because BYU technically is 9, but they jump up to 4 because they're projected to win the Big 12. So it kind of throws a little bit of a loop. So yeah, right now in the first round, we got Indiana, Tennessee, Alabama, Texas, Notre Dame, Penn State, and then someone in Boise State. There you go, Ohio State, Boise State.
Wow. Look at Ohio State. Oh my God.
And there are the Duckies.
If the playoff started today, Ohio State, their first two games would be Boise State.
The committee's just handing it to them.
And BYU.
Look, I'm not going to lie. Neither one of those is a cupcake. That's as good of a path as you could hope for.
Come on.
Being the 5 seed is going to be good.
Yeah. Well, and again, things can change.
Yeah, but you're right.
Because you're going to host a game against the last team in, and then you're going to get to move on to, I mean, it's the team that is the worst conference champion, essentially.
That's exactly
so
right.
So that's the path you want.
The 5 seed is where you
have to play one extra game.
You got to play one extra game, but that game you are going to probably play, you're going to play a Boise State or an Army, someone like that.
You'll play Boise. It's probably gonna be
Boise. But you know, Boise could lose and someone else could jump up. But yeah, you're getting Boise, and then more than likely you're getting the Big 12 champ, which is gonna be SMU or
SMU's
Colorado
in the
or
ACC.
BYU or Colorado or
Kansas State, Iowa State.
Boy, that would be you got to play the extra game, but that's a good path. And then in that third round, then you would stare down the number one team, which, again, if chalk held, would be Oregon.
So wait, am I?
Are you what? Are you okay?
I was thinking about a team, say the Big 12 would be the only way the only conference this would happen in.
Yeah.
Is it possible the Big 12 champion is not ranked in the top 12?
Is it possible?
Would that even be possible?
They would still get a top four seed.
So they would just automatically rank them in the top 12 because they won the Big 12. But like seriously, like let's say BYU, it's just carnage in the Big 12.
That like the winner has two losses.
And the winner is not even.
Yeah, the best. It'd be like Colorado.
Yeah.
No, because Colorado is like 20th or whatever, 21st, wherever you want to rank them.
And as they would
win over these next couple weeks, the committee will make sure that team.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. They'll manipulate the team up.
But so, I could see that there is a outside chance that let's say Colorado came out of nowhere and Boise State held firm. I could see a world where Boise State gets the bye and not Colorado.
Yeah, because they qualify for the bye if they're ranked higher than one of the conference champions.
Yes, it is not. You do not get the automatic spot because you're in the Power Four. It's the top four ranked champions. So if Boise State were to be ahead of whoever the Big 12 champ is, they would get the nod. Now, that's probably not going to happen, but in theory, you could, if Kansas State or Colorado or someone like that were to win the Big 12 as a two-loss champ, or like you said, if there was absolute carnage and that was a 3-loss conference champ, yeah, maybe.
Okay, so let's do a fun little exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon would play the winner of Indiana, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Who do you want? That game would be at Tennessee.
Boy, I know this.
I think I'd rather play Tennessee.
I don't know, because I just don't know anything about Indiana. I would say, honestly, I want Indiana.
Tennessee
has no offense, but from a talent standpoint, I would lean towards Tennessee. I really need to see the Indiana-Ohio State game, because my heart wants to say you'd rather play Tennessee, but
we just don't know what Indiana is yet until they get a real test.
We just don't know. And maybe we'll see, because Indiana's got, Michigan? And you'll get at least an idea. If they lay 45 on Michigan, I'm like, yeah, I'll take Tennessee. Because you're right, Tennessee doesn't score. But Tennessee also beat Alabama. So I just, from a talent standpoint, I think you'd you'd rather see Indiana and the James Madison boys than a team that's a top 15 recruiter.
Okay. Boise State or Notre Dame? You're Oregon.
You're Oregon. Again.
You want Boise State again?
I want Boise State again. I just...
Familiarity helps you.
Familiarity.
Lesser talent.
And it's just lesser talent. And I know, you know, Genty is really good. And I just... I'm a talent guy. I just am. At the end of the day...
I'd rather run it back against them.
I would just... I don't want to play a team that is more talented. And to a man, with the exception of Genty, Notre Dame and Tennessee are light years better talent-wise than Boise State. Like, you didn't play very good against Boise. Boise gave you everything they had. And
you
why
can play better, and you've had a chance to measure them now.
And why did you beat Boise State? Because your athletes were just better, especially on special teams. And
not that they couldn't beat you, but I'd rather play them than Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think I'd rather run it back against Boise. But I'll tell you what, I'd be sweating bullets. Like, if that's the 12 seed, that ain't an easy out. Boise gave you all you could handle, and that was at your place.
Power rank, your Oregon, power rank who you want to play most to least between Tennessee, Notre Dame, and Alabama.
I don't want to play Alabama.
Really?
They're last.
We're still worried about them?
Just talent? Just talent. And they've been there, and they beat Georgia. I know Alabama is so up and down.
Alabama's the top team on that list as far as the one you don't want to face. And it's a tough call between Notre Dame and Tennessee.
Notre Dame and Tennessee, because I both think they have serious flaws in both, and I don't think either team particularly scares me. Notre Dame is just, since that awful game against Northern Illinois, and I know they haven't necessarily played a ton of people, but their offense looks way better and they're scoring points. And Tennessee is so one-dimensional. I think I'm going to say that I would rather play Tennessee than Notre Dame.
Okay.
And to be fair, I haven't seen Tennessee play a bunch. I've seen Tennessee play two games and then parts of a third. I just don't like freshman quarterbacks, and their offense just gives me the Iggies.
Okay. I've got two more.
Okay.
Power rank. This is through the prism of Oregon.
Yeah.
Power rank who you would want to play least to most between Georgia, Texas, and Ohio State.
I don't want to play Georgia.
Yeah, that's who you want to play the least, for sure.
I don't want to play Ohio State again. I think I'd rather play Texas.
Of those three?
Uh-huh.
You'd most rather... Is that what you think, too, there, Duck Boy?
Yeah.
Texas and Ohio State's really tough. It's the whole bird in hand thing. Like, you know, because you've lined up against them, what you can do against Ohio State. I think you'd probably rather play Texas than you would Ohio State, but it's hard to say.
The thing that gives me a little bit of a, I'll play Ohio State again, is their O-line is not anywhere near what it was when they played you, and they lost two guys in that game, and I'm not certain that O-line will ever be back. I just think on a neutral field, in that game, Ohio State gets you. On a neutral field, it's razor thin. Now, I think that Oregon continues to get better, and I think they're healthy, and Ohio State is not, and I'm not certain that that's the same Ohio State team, so that doesn't scare me. I just think, Texas, and I think they've got a quarterback issue right now. I really do. And so I know it's weird, but okay. I think if I had to, I'd pick Texas.
Okay, last grouping, you're Oregon. Who do you want to play least in power rank between Boise, BYU, Miami, and Indiana?
BYU is the first team you want to play, right?
Yeah.
You want to play them?
Want to play them the most.
I think I'd play BYU. I don't think physically BYU is going to stand up against you.
Then it's Boise.
Then it's
probably
Boise again. Physically, I'm not certain they can stand up against you. And then I think it's Indiana again. They haven't proven anything. And I know I'm not a Miami believer, but Miami can score. Miami's going to score points on you. I don't think they're going to stop you. I think you'd win. But we talked about this. When you play a team with an offense that can score 40 points, weird things can happen. You can get dumb passes. You can get penalties. If your offense is just off by a click or whatever, Miami's going to put up points. And that's the team that can beat you in a shootout.
The only other thing about that, though, is that Dave Bartu talks about all the time the coaching effect. Yeah. I would rather play Mario Cristobal staff and Kurt Cignetti staff.
Indiana is just such a big, fat, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just, my opinion of Indiana is going to evolve so much over the next 2 weeks. I don't even know. I couldn't even begin to tell you what the hell to do with Indiana. But I do know from a physical standpoint, when you traditionally play these sorts of games, and we saw Boise State, and Boise State gave you all you could handle. But BYU and Boise State, especially at the end of the year when everyone's nicked up a little bit, they physically should not be able to line up and play four quarters with you at Oregon. And Indiana, I would assume, is kind of that same thing. Miami's the one squad that has NFL guys across the board that, and I just, like I said, I'm a talent guy.
All right, there's a fun little exercise. Let's meet back here next Tuesday and do it all over again.
And the one after that, and the one after that, and yep. Then we'll get to meaningful ones. It's fun, though. Anyone that thought that this version was going to make the regular season worse, dude,
way wrong.
You're out to lunch.
It just ropes more teams into it. You, like I said, 26 teams for 11 spots.
Yes.
And that will continue to narrow down over the next 5 weeks, and that's fun.
And how great was that bracket when you look at it? You're like, oh, yeah. Man, look at some of those matchups. Right.
All the different scenarios and things that could shift and adjust. Yeah, it's great.
Because if you're looking at a four-team playoff,
how
many teams realistically still have a shot?
Well, like this Alabama-LSU game again. It does not matter if it were to 14 playoffs.
Yeah. Yep.
And I wouldn't think that me and the Huck and Hebrew at BYU would have anything to be going for. You're like, oh, God, we got to be undefeated or else. And now all of a sudden.
Yeah, you would have to be undefeated.
You'd have to be undefeated. Yeah.
All right. College football playoff rankings. Ducks number one. Up next in the news, this is your last chance. We have another farewell tour coming to Portland. And we'll tell you who that is when we get back. Here's Buck. All right. Welcome back. It is November 5. 2024. It's time now for In the News. I am Renoted Newsman. Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much. Please be seated.
I am.
Please be seated some more.
I guess I could lower my seat a little
Please
bit.
Be reseated.
Yeah, there you go. Reseated. Do it again.
In the News is brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is Election Day, but you knew that.
I did. I don't know if you've seen it, but there seems to be a lot of coverage going on right now.
Yeah, I don't pay attention. But it is also, more importantly, American Football Day.
Oh!
Did you know that? Well, the sport that gave you life.
Yes. If there's one thing in this country we love more than politics, well,
it's
actually, there's a billion things that we love more than politics, and football is number one.
America. Well, do you remember that hide and seek with a cop event in Sherwood?
Yeah, seemed a little weird, but you know.
Well, the but you know won out.
The what?
Well, you said but you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, no. The weird part won out. Canceled.
Yeah. I just think it was, you know.
Canceled.
It was strange.
Denied.
Yeah. You know, it's just hide and seek and cops and all that. Did they have those things where it was just like have a cup of coffee with a cop or something? You know, get a donut. Can't play up on that angle or something. Sit down and talk to one. I don't know. Seems a little better than play hide and seek. That's just weird.
It was a little bit of an odd idea.
Yeah.
And because of the public backlash, they did not go through with it.
Well, again, they need to call some actual people and like brainstorm this stuff. Just go out and just get like
actual people.
Actual people.
Do you think they're not actual people?
No, they're too. It's like when you decide that you're gonna like
lizard
wear
people.
Yeah, when you decide that you're gonna be leather jacket guy or you're gonna wear like a derby hat, like you don't have the wherewithal. You need second party confirmation, third, fourth party. You can't just look in the mirror and be like, hell yeah. And you can't ask like your significant other, be like, hey, does this look cool? Because she may not want to hurt your feelings. You gotta farm that out to some people that are willing to break your heart and be like, dude, what the hell are you doing?
Actual people.
Yes, actual people.
Not lizard people.
No.
Bottom line, they're ass.
Concerts coming to Portland in November. Sabrina Carpenter will be here, but who cares about that?
I think she's coming Thursday.
Oh, is that Thursday?
I think it's this Thursday. Mm-hmm. My kid cares about that. Mm.
Well, the one she should care about is a farewell tour.
Oh, my God. I guarantee I've already seen the fair. I don't know who this is. I really don't. But I'm willing to wager because I go see a lot of shows. I've already seen this band on a farewell tour because it's probably their fourth one.
Okay. On November 30th at Moda Center, this will be the last chance for you to see the great Cyndi Lauper.
I stand corrected. I haven't seen Cyndi Lauper on a farewell tour.
You gonna go see her?
I'll go a step further. I've never seen Cyndi Lauper.
You gonna go?
Here's my thing.
November 30th. Girls just want to have fun.
Yeah.
It's a Saturday night.
Saturday night.
So that helps.
I will not buy tickets, but if the BTJ wanted to go and there were some tickets laying around the station,
okay,
I'd go see Cyndi Lauper.
Name another Cyndi Lauper song.
True Colors.
Nice.
That might be my favorite.
Does she do Time After Time?
Yes.
Yep, Time After Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the...
Shebop. You remember Shebop?
She can fill up Moda?
I'm guessing Theater of the Clouds, maybe?
No, it doesn't say Theater of the Clouds.
Really?
I don't know that she's going to fill it up, but...
I'm just surprised it's not a slightly smaller venue.
Maybe she rocks.
Cyndi Lauper back rocks. In the day, like in the 80s, was a big deal. We're also forgetting the... what is the theme to the Goonies?
The Goonies, yeah.
What is the good enough for me? It's good enough. I love that song. Yeah, Cyndi Lauper's great.
She is great. Greatness.
I'd go check that out.
And again, this is it.
Not to the point of paying for it, although like $25-$30.
I mean, depends on where the seats are.
Yeah, I'm not sitting.
I'm probably not paying to go see Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, I don't think I am either. But I'd like you to take videos and send me one.
I don't take videos at concerts.
Yeah, there's never been a good one. Just go watch a music video.
In the history of concerts and phones.
Well, no, I like to see what they sound like. You know, like.
But you can't really hear it through. The audio's not good through your phone. It's crap.
I go back and watch
some. It's just proof that you're there.
Concert videos that I've taken.
It's like videos of fireworks. Put your stupid phones down.
You know what's funny is like when you're
phone down.
When you're at a concert and you're digging it, and then you take a big song comes on that you want to hear, and you take a little video.
Yeah.
Because that's the one you want to hear. When you go back and watch those, they're never as good as you think.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, I'm not saying the video. I'm just saying the way they're playing it. Like they're just like you're just like, it doesn't sound as great as I thought it was when I was drunk and yelling at the show.
Who was it? Billy Joel Armstrong, the lead singer of Green Day, when they were here. I forget what song it was, but he goes, guys, do me an effing favor. He goes, we're about to play something that like everyone knows. He goes, put your bleeping phone down. He goes, I promise you. He goes, you'll be able to see this video that we've done this song plenty of times. Put your phone down and just enjoy it. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah, your personal version of this is not going to be better than a version that already exists.
Yes. He even said, like, they were doing a cool thing. And I don't know if other bands are doing this. It was the first time I'd seen it. At the end of the show, on the big board, you scanned a QR code and they will send you a big trove of photos and videos from that concert to your phone so that you don't have to take crappy cell phone videos and photos.
That's a good idea.
It was. And that's this thing. He goes, dude, we'll send them to you.
Yeah.
Just put your phone down and enjoy the show.
Don't hate that.
No, I thought it was a great idea.
So, Cyndi Lauper, November 30th.
Which I probably won't be there, but all right.
Is it good that Boeing is back to work? That could be debated, couldn't it?
I would assume, like...
Really?
Well, I mean, there's...
Doors falling off?
Look, there's only two plane manufacturers in the world.
Maybe we don't need any more planes.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Competition's usually good.
Hey, you want Airbus being the only one? It'd be nice if we had more, but we don't. Basically, you choose between Boeing and Airbus.
All right, we'll get to that.
Oh, no.
Next on The Fan. I am not sure that anything could sound more 80s than this song.
No. I mean, if you had to sum up the sound of the 80s, wouldn't you just go with Cyndi Lauper?
Mm.
I mean, there's everything about that. Or like Wham, maybe.
Wham is good. What about Culture Club?
Yeah, I could see that. But like
Karma Chameleon?
I don't know, just everything about Cyndi Lauper. Like, if someone just said, describe 1985, I'd be like, here you go.
I'd probably go Michael Jackson.
See, Michael Jackson's too good. Michael Jackson stands the test of time. Cyndi Lauper does not. And the 80s
she's still
is,
going.
The 80s is not about standing the test of time.
In the news, November 5th, 2024.
Captain Lou Albano in that video?
Yeah, that was the Goonies song.
Now, do you think she performs that in, here in Portland?
Absolutely. She's got like 8 big hits. She's going to play them.
Ooh, let's look up her
I didn't know that was considered like a big hit, but I guess because of the Goonies connection, assumed she would
hear. That's a huge hit.
Can't say I'm that familiar with the catalog.
She just played in Columbus, Ohio.
Guarantee she plays that.
She did not play that.
Really?
What's that? She only plays 15 songs, 16 songs. She opens with Shebop. Oh, she did. Yeah, she played second song.
Yeah.
Yeah, she went Shebop and then Good Enough. She comes right out of the gate swinging.
Exactly.
With hits.
Well, look, at this point, I'm not taking any shots at Cyndi Lauper. But
well, she also plays.
Here comes
Ico.
The shot at Cyndi Lauper.
No, no, no. Like, you're a big Pink Floyd guy, right?
Oh, I love Pink Floyd.
So if you go see Roger Waters, one of the complaints is that he doesn't play a lot of old Pink Floyd stuff.
I wouldn't go see him. I would go see
David Gilmour.
Gilmour.
But like, yeah, supposedly when he goes, I mean, he'll give you some stuff, but he plays a lot of new stuff. And dude, he can get away with that. He's Roger Waters. Cyndi Lauper ain't getting away with that. She knows where the bread. Like, I go see Blues Traveler. Trust me, they play their 3 hits, right? You don't get to be like, yeah, we're playing the McMiniman's and we're not going to play Runaround. No, it doesn't work that way.
So Cyndi Lauper plays Ico Ico, and then she rolls through some other crap I've never heard of, and then she plays Time After Time, and she plays a lot of covers, and then her encore is Shine, True Colors, and then, of course, she brings the house down with Girls Just Wanna Have Fun.
Makes sense.
They just wanna.
Hey, you know what? That's a solid encore right there. I may go see Cyndi Lauper.
She's playing in Tampa tomorrow night. She's taking tonight off.
Yeah.
Gotta rest. A bomb threat has closed the Riverdale schools in Southwest Portland.
Uh-oh. Why are we bombing, or why are we threatening to bomb?
What, you think I know that?
Well, I would assume that there's some sort of... When someone usually makes a bomb threat, it's because of something.
They closed their 2 schools, their high school and K-8 school, following reports of bomb threats. So the district serves about 600 families near Lake Oswego. They received email threats targeting the schools early Tuesday morning, and as a precaution, they canceled all their classes. But it sounds like the district was a threat in a larger threat to a lot of different school districts around the country, and it just happened to be mentioned.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. I would just assume, like, if I would ever call in a bomb threat, not that I would, but if I did, there would usually be, like, a warning attached to it. Like, you know, hey, you keep this up.
Well, that's what came in the email.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they went through the schools and they found nothing.
Nothing. Well, it's because bomb threats rarely actually lead to bombings.
Exactly.
Because again, if you're going to bomb something,
you would just do
it. You would just do
it. Why are you threatening?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw an interview once with a guy who, he was some sort of CIA guy, and he's like a threat analysis guy. And that's what he said. You know, he was like, it's not the person that's, you know, he said there's like stages to it. And if you're in this long enough, you know what is like, all right, this is leading up to something. Or you get the person that comes out of nowhere. And that's the scary one that doesn't give you any warning. He just is like, hey, I'm going to blow
it. Wasn't on your radar.
Exactly.
Unionized machinists at Boeing voted Monday to accept a contract offer and end their strike after more than 7 weeks, clearing the way for the aerospace giant to resume production of its best-selling airliner and kill all of us eventually.
And doors will be falling off real, real soon. I would assume that Boeing's got to tighten that up now, right?
I mean, you know, that's
as much as they can.
That's what they want you to think. Look, we're that's when the CEO comes out, and we are taking every precaution.
Well, I mean, I guess when there's only 2 people making planes, I mean, I guess you probably don't have to be that buttoned up, but I'm assuming you don't want, like, your planes falling apart. Although they did kill 2 planefuls full of people, and no one seemed to care.
Like I said, is it a good thing that Boeing is back to work? I'm not sure that it is.
It is kind of amazing that you can kill, like, 400 people because of your incompetence, and, like, no one really does anything. You're like,
hey. Well, that Boeing dock is pretty shocking.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's terrifying.
Yeah. They basically do whatever they want.
Pretty much. Yeah, we should. You know, you said you should have started the in the pallet game. No, no. Should have started a major airline manufacturer. That's what you should have done.
Building planes?
Building planes.
With all my plane building knowledge? You're right, I should have.
Not sure. What's the capital to start up a plane manufacturer since there's only two of them?
Would it be profitable if you just made one plane and put it out into the world?
Well, that's what that... The coolest thing in Oregon, right? That's that one plane.
They only made the one?
They just made the one, right?
I don't know.
You know what? I looked at what Boeing's worth, and it's kind of disappointing.
What do you mean, what they're worth?
I don't know. I just looked up, like, how, like, I was going to say, like, how much is, like, if you wanted to start, like, your own Boeing? I just was wondering, like, how much Boeing was worth. So I just Googled, like, Boeing, and their market summary popped up.
The value of the company, you mean?
It just says market cap, you know?
Yeah, what is it?
$118 billion. I thought it'd be more.
I think there's a lot of better industries to get into than aerospace.
I just thought it'd be worth more, you know?
Wait, is it aerospace? Airliner industry?
I don't think it's aerospace. I mean, I don't know.
I'm going to get into the aerospace. I'm going to put up a plane that goes anywhere in the galaxy. What do you think about that?
I think that's Musk. I think he's doing that. And then he sends up that rocket and he catches it with the butt cheek thing and like they squeeze them together. And I think he's got that.
Yeah, you can rent out my plane, go on a party in the sky. Yeah. Fly you around.
Do that. Look at what companies are worth the most. Yeah, Apple.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, this was interesting. Yeah, like Boeing, you know, with the lame.
Well,
whatever.
I'm sure Boeing has taken a big hit over the last couple of years, hasn't it?
Yeah, but still, you know what Apple's worth?
You said Boeing was what?
$118 billion.
Yeah, Apple probably $700.
Yeah, try again.
Trillion?
Keep going.
Gazillion? Well, I don't even know what's after
trillion. $3.5 trillion.
Trillion
dollars.
Ooh. It's a lot.
That's pretty good. So let's start.
Damn that, Steve Jobs.
We should start, instead of the pallet thing and Boeing, start our own Apple.
Can they make airplanes?
I don't know. I'm assuming. You're worth $3.5 trillion. I'm assuming you can make an airplane. Come on, go Steve Jobs. Let's get going.
Well, there's a lot of collusion in the airline industry. I know that, too.
Yeah.
They don't want you coming in. That's what the old rich guy, the old British rich guy. Who's that guy?
Branson.
Yeah. Branson. Yeah, he bought Virgin.
Yeah.
And he always claimed that they boxed him out.
Yeah, they want nothing to do
And he
with
was going
to
do it way better than all them. And they were like, yeah, no, you're not.
Yeah. See? What chance?
Bye, Felicia.
What chance do we have? All right. No, we're not. We're back to the pallet
That's
thing.
That's right. Back to pallets.
Back to pallets.
All right. Well, I think we're out of time here, guys.
Probably.
You want another story, or?
I want some of that.
Well, no, because we're out of time.
I want some of that Microsoft money.
Well, Jody's sitting up there all single.
Mm-hmm.
She's got some of it.
What's up, Jody? She's into Navy SEALs.
Yeah, you're no Navy SEAL.
No, I'm not.
Being a man of increase?
You got too much back hair.
You know, you can shave that. Maybe she can do it for you.
It's too hard to
I bet
reach.
Navy SEALs, there's some of them with some back hair.
In sexy lingerie, she can pull out her bick.
I'm trying to get back there, but yeah, it's tough. As I get older, I'm not as flexible as I used to be.
I don't have any
panties. Nah, it's brutal, dude.
That's here in the news, November 5, 2024, brought to you by The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. The NFL trade deadline has come and gone. There were some moves, yet another NBA injury, and a surprise quarterback benching in college. Next on The Fan.